good. Right. I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified Bible, the Classic Edition. Anybody have that? That's what I thought. Okay, we're going to be in Isaiah 61. So if you want to go to Isaiah 61 and just follow along. But this Amplified Bible, the Classic Edition, really brings a lot of things out. So I want you to listen real carefully, because there's just so much in this. And we're going to start in Isaiah 61, verse 1. And we're just going to read a few verses there. So if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Now I'm going to read it slow. I want you to just absorb what God is saying, because the Word of God speaks to us individually today, right? It wasn't thousands of years ago, but it's today. It's living and it's active and it's powerful. Mm-hmm. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor and afflicted. He sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison, and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland or diadem, of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy, burdened and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and renew the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Aliens shall stand ready and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. People will speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and the glory, once that of your captors, shall be yours. Instead of your former shame, you shall have a twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double what they had forfeited. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong with violence or a burnt offering. And I will faithfully give them their recompense in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant or league with them. And their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants among the peoples. All who see them in their prosperity will recognize and acknowledge that they are the people whom the Lord has blessed. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word, Lord God. God, we thank you, Father, that today is the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. And God, we've come, Lord God, God, with our hearts open before you, Father. God, that you can speak to us, Lord God. And God, that we just want to hear your voice in a brand new way today, Father. God, we want everything that is proclaimed in Isaiah 61. We want to say, that's mine. That's mine. We want to make that declaration. That's mine, because God, that's what you want, Father. You are speaking to us today, Father. And so God, we ask you to bless your word, Father. God, may we just hear from you today. May we hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying to each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So the first verse The first verse, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now this was speaking of Jesus, right? But guess what? Same Spirit that was in him is in me, is in you. Same Spirit. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, amen? Because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. So everything that is speaking of Jesus is also speaking of us, right? He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim, now get this, because this is the gist of the whole deal. To proclaim liberty. Somebody say liberty.
Liberty.
What's that? Freedom.
Freedom.
To the physical and spiritual captives. Physical captives, spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound. So all that, that's what this message is about. How many want to be free? Hallelujah. I do. I want to be free. That's what Jesus wants for us. So this message is for the world and for the church, right? All these things. I like the way that ends up. And of the eyes to those who are bound. A lot of times, well, when the world's bound, they don't see it, right? But how about in the church? When we're bound up in whatever, can we see it? No. And so, the Spirit of the Lord wants to open eyes today. How many is ready for your eyes to be open? Hallelujah. So the Bible uses a lot of different descriptions of physical things. There's prisons. The Bible speaks about prisons, restraints, bands, fetters, shackles, chains, right? All those terms are in the Bible, right? And those are physical things, but it also speaks of, as the natural, so in the spirit. So there's spiritual things too. Spiritual, unseen. You can't see in the Spirit, normally, unless God lets you see in the Spirit. Glory to God, I'm ready. How about you? Hallelujah. But the unseen things, their hindrances, their bondage, their whatever, but they're just as real as if you could see them. They're there. Amen? How many have ever, well, if you've ever watched television or seen cartoons or the old comic books or whatever about the ball and chain, remember the ball and chain? Well, that came from, that was basically for prisoners, right? And it was primarily in the British Empire and the colonies. So from the 17th century until as late as the mid-20th centuries, it was a type of a shackle, right? The ball and a chain, and it's designed so that the weight of the iron ball at the end of a short chain, it would restrict and limit the pace at which his wearer is able to move, making any attempt at escape much more difficult. Somebody said they found one. I'm not sure what it was, but there was like 18 pounds. The ball was 18 pounds. And so you can imagine that you drag that thing and very difficult to move, let alone to escape. You couldn't jump very high fences, right, with that hanging on your foot, whatever. So, here was this ball and the chain. It was shackled to your leg, right? So what's a shackle? Here's a definition of a shackle. Something that confines the arms or legs. The human arm is often used in the Bible to symbolize spiritual strength or power. Fetters. Anything that confines or restrains, a chain or shackle placed on the feet. Now, feet speak of our spiritual walk. So you can call them chains, you can call them shackles, fetters, whatever, but God wants your testimony to be, and this is the title of the message, Broken Chains. How many is ready for your testimony to be broken chains? Glory to God. How many have had some chains broken off? Hallelujah. Yes. Here's a testimony of a man. Not sure the name, just the testimony. It has been almost 2 years that I accepted Jesus into my life as my Savior. Before this, I always believed, but never took the time to really get to know Him. My life before my Savior came to me was full of chains that held me down and made it easy for the devil to do his work. I let him take everything from me. Everything. I was a hopeless, broken man. It'll be 2 years at the end of September, and life has changed so much. Not everything I lost has come back, but all in life that has is wonderful. I thank Jesus every day for this. What a testimony! This is probably me for most of your times, but how many remember 1950? That's what I thought. Okay, well, some of us do. 1950, in Chicago, Illinois, there was a radio drama series. It was produced and it was aired, I believe it was in September of 1950 it was first aired. And it's the longest running radio drama in history and one of very few still in production in the United States. The show is aired in over 6,500 times around the world each week on over 1,550 radio outlets and is translated and re-dramatized in 8 languages on 6 continents. That's pretty astounding, right? As of January 2018, over 3,500 episodes have been produced, each 30 minutes in length. And the scripts, they're derived from actual testimony and actual events. Each episode dramatizes the testimony of someone who has accepted Jesus. Sometimes it was through a place in Chicago. It's called Pacific Garden Mission. Anybody ever hear of it? Never heard of it. Or through hearing the series called Unshackled. Anybody ever hear of the series? Unshackled? You want to hear it? It's awesome. There was one of the radio episodes included the life of a baseball great turned evangelist called Billy Sunday. He went to Pacific Garden Mission, got saved. Great evangelist, Billy Sunday. Another one, Dominic Mance, an international banker who became a homeless vagabond nearly overnight because he heard the message up on Shackley. Thousands and thousands of people have come to the Lord and be set free because of this simple 30-minute dramatized series of actual testimonies of people. I think if you guys have never heard it, you need to. Maybe you can go on the web and pull it up. Oh yeah.
What's
yeah.
The radio station?
I'm not sure. I didn't look it up to see which anything local. But I'm sure there's somewhere where it is. But I would think you could go on the net and pull it up. Shouldn't be a problem. But you know, without Jesus, we're all shackled by sin. Everyone. By our wrong choices, our disobedience, our selfish motives. But the power of Jesus Christ sets us free from our bondage. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 6:12, it's summing up some previous verses there and talks about when things are going good. In verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, when we're going through rough times and we cry out to God and we really seek God and we want God, and then things turn around, the pressure comes off, and it's so easy to forget the one that brought us out of that stuff. Amen? So how can I tell if I'm in chains? Anybody want to know? I'm glad you asked.
You make this work.
Well, if you go to the doctor, what does the doctor say? How many has ever gone to a doctor? Probably everybody here has gone to the doctor. And so the doctor, what does he say? What's your symptoms? Right? What are you here for? What's going on? So what's your symptoms? Well, same holds true. What's your symptoms? So I'm not good at headings. I'm not good at this stuff. So I just put some things into about maybe six categories. So, and there's no order to it. It's just there. So the first thing I put was chains of habitual sins. Things that you know are wrong and you keep doing them and you know they're wrong and you just can't seem to break free from them. Jeremiah 2:20. For of old I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot. You know, we say, no, God, we're not going back. We're not going to do that again. Never, 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 never. Right? Anybody ever been here? We're, you know, and it may not be some what we'd call a big one, but maybe it's criticism, maybe it's whatever, you know. We're not going to do that anymore. We're done with that. And God says, yeah, yeah. And you go out and you play the harlot. In John 8:34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. So when we commit sin, we made ourselves a servant to that sin. Even though we say we don't want to do that, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be envious. We're not going to be jealous. We're not going to be this. We're not going to be that. You know? And yet, when we go back and do it, guess what?
Once again, we're back in bondage. We're a servant to sin.
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God's always there. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is always there when we mess up, when we blow it. God's always there saying, come on back, come on back. And when we confess our sins, when we acknowledge what God already knows, it's not like He don't know. When we acknowledge it, when we confess our sins and ask forgiveness, He's faithful and just to forgive us from our sins. Glory to God. So that's chains of habitual sin. Number two, chains of addictions. John 8:36, therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. There's a couple of qualifications to being free. And there's lots of things you can be addicted to, right? You can be addicted to drugs, you can be addicted to alcohol, you can be addicted to sex, you can be addicted to pornography, you can be addicted to the internet, you can be addicted to television, you can be addicted to whatever is still addicted, right? So there's some, you know, it's God's will, it's Jesus' will to free people. A, you have to want to be free. God has given us all a free will, and He will honor our will. So you have to want to be free. And the second thing, you have to be determined to stay free. It don't do you any good to get free if you're not going to stay free. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. A warning there. Stand fast. Determine you're not going back into that thing. Whatever it is. Don't become tangled again in that stuff. A lot of people get tangled up in stuff. Some of them get tangled up in gambling. Probably a lot of people in churches get into that thing. You know, it's everywhere. You know, we have these casinos. We have these mini casinos, all designed to bring bondage. What it's all about. We have the lotteries. Every store practically has a lottery machine, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard what the odds are of you winning this stuff? Well, you probably have a better chance of being struck by lightning than winning. Yes. It's all designed. Watch, if you just stand and watch these lottery tickets, watch who buys them. You won't see rich people. Right? You will see poor people. the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? And so, you know, he's out there everywhere you look. Come on, just give me your money. If you give me your money, you'll probably give me something else too. Right? Everything, the enemy's out there and he's saying, I'll take everything that you'll allow me to have. Number three, chains of your past, regrets, failures, mistakes, disappointments, missed opportunities. We've all been there. Come on. But we don't have to be chained there. God wants us to be free of that stuff. Maybe even some successes in the past. You know, we remember back then, back in the 60s, back in the 70s, back in the 80s, maybe the 90s, you know. Oh boy, back then. If we were only back then, right? We've all heard that story. Boy, those are the good old days. Well, guess what? Time marches on. Hallelujah. We can't stay in the past. Hallelujah. You know, if the devil can't get you one way, he'll get you the other way. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth onto the things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How many are pressing on for the mark of the prize of the high calling? Hallelujah. It's what God wants. You know, God wants us to just keep pressing on. When we stop going forth, you know, you don't just stop. Either you're going forward or you're going back. And so we need to be pressing on, pressing in all the time. Amen. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, if we could. I remember back in the 70s, we had revival. We saw people saved. Glory to God. We saw all this. We saw the miracles. If we could only go back. And God says, that was good. That was good. But I'm going to do a new thing. A new thing. A brand new thing. He said, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How many have ever been in a desert place? And you're just crying out for water. God, I want some water. I'm thirsty. I'm dry. And God says, I'm going to do a new thing. See, Moses, God said, strike the rock. And water came out. Hallelujah. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know God's going to do a new thing. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we can't be chained in the past. We have to be free to move on with God and let God be God. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Next thing, chains of our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. You know, all those feelings we have, all the emotions, fear, anger, pride, lust, selfishness, loneliness, anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, insomnia, all those things, you know, symptoms. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. If we don't have the spirit of fear, we should have power, love, and a sound mind. Glory to God. Galatians 5:16. For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Glory to God. We need to be walking in the Spirit continually. Amen.
Hallelujah.
The next one. Chains of our health. Whether it's physical, emotionally, or mentally. Think about the ball and chain on our physical bodies. When we're not walking in health, right? Just limping along. Well, I'm just doing this for the glory of God. Hello. God don't get glory out of sickness. God don't get glory out of disease. Right? He said, I am the God that healeth thee. All of your sickness, all of your disease. Why would he heal if he's going to get glory out of it? He don't get glory. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Hallelujah. 3 John verse 2. Beloved above all, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul, the one we just talked about, prospers. So here's God. And he said, beloved, above all, I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Glory to God. God's saying, come on, how clear do I have to make this? This is my will for you. He says, I'm the God that healeth thee. I'm not the God that makes you sick, but I'm the God that heals you. And the last one. And it is very powerful one. Chains of willing to settle for less than God's best. How many know Andrew Womack? Mm-hmm. Ever heard of him? Mm-hmm. Here's what he said. We have been influenced more by the world than by God's word, and dumbed down to accept far less than what God has provided. You have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired before you will aggressively pursue God's best. You have to have a holy dissatisfaction with mediocrity before you can experience all that God has for you. How many want to experience all that God has for you? Or how many are willing to settle for whatever? The bar of expectation, even within the church, has been lowered in regards to healing, finances, and more. There is such a fear that someone might be disappointed and therefore condemned that many ministers have been teaching people to settle for less and avoid the disappointment. Christians ought to be walking in supernatural healing. Come on. This place should be rocking. Oh, hallelujah. They ought to be walking in financial prosperity. Most, however, are just as sick and broke as their unsaved neighbors. You will never receive God's best until you become completely dissatisfied with second best or mediocrity. One of these days, we're all going to stand before God. And when we do, we will know all things even as we are known. 1 Corinthians 13:12. In an instant, we're going to know what we could have had while on this earth. We will understand that the same power that raised Christ from the dead was resident within us all along. Same power. We'll discover that we didn't have to be sick, that we didn't have to live broke, that we didn't have to be depressed and discouraged. will realize that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance were living inside of us the whole time. We don't have to limp into heaven crying, "Praise God, we made it." We can live a life of victory now. Jesus died to deliver us from this present evil world. What Galatians 1:4 says, not just the one to come, but right now. Amen? Unless you're willing to stand and fight the fight of faith, you will be overcome by this world. If you don't stir yourself up, you'll settle to the bottom. The world isn't going to encourage you toward God's best, and most Christians aren't either. Moses lived under an inferior covenant compared to ours, right? We are under a better covenant, right? And Jesus said that John the Baptist was greater than Moses. But the least New Testament saint is greater than John. Isn't that what Matthew 11:11 said? Therefore, if Moses was still strong at 120, come on, with good eyesight, isn't that what Deuteronomy 34:7 said? Why would we settle for less than that? We're under a better covenant. Why would we settle for less? Sadly, religion is one of the strongest weapons Satan has to discourage people from believing for something more. Many churches believe that God doesn't perform miracles today, or worse, that God's the one who wills for our lives to be in such a mess to break us. Oh, come on, give me a break. That's ridiculous. Well, I want you to know one thing. In this church, we believe God. Hallelujah. We believe God heals. We believe God. We believe God saves. We believe God heals. We believe God sets people free. Hallelujah. And we don't believe it's God that makes the mess in our lives. God wants to clean the mess up. Amen. What God really wants to do today is to break the chains that are holding us back and keeping us bound. Come on. So are you ready to be free? Some of you have been praying and fasting. So here's the word of the Lord to you today. Isaiah 58:6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. You may have been praying and fasting and maybe not seeing what you wanted to see or hearing what you wanted to hear, but God says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? Maybe you've been fasting for other people to have yokes and burdens broke off of them. In Nahum 1:13, for now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. Today is the day of salvation. If you have chains, yokes, bondage on you, God wants to break them off today. Hallelujah. God's here. God's here to set us free. Sherry's going to come. She's going to sing.